Back to our GeoQuiz now. We were looking for the world's most densely populated sovereign country, and we found it along the French Riviera on the Mediterranean coast. The answer is the tiny principality of Monaco. This week, Monaco was in the news after it was forced to put on hold its coastal urbanization project. Eric Regulli is European business reporter for Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper. Eric, what exactly was Monaco's coastal urbanization project?
Well, it was a massive, and I mean massive, extension of a country, Marco, into the sea. The problem with Monaco, it's tiny. It's less than 1 square mile. So they only have two choices. They can go up vertically, or they can go out and push out into the sea. And they had planned this project to push out about two-thirds of a mile, a huge, huge wharf into the sea. And that was going to cover something like the equivalent of 65 American football fields, or 5% of the entire area. Guess what? With the credit crunch, the recession coming, the developers who were going to build it having financial problems, they yanked that project this week.
Wow. So, I mean, Monaco is known for, you know, its casinos and Princess Grace, the Grand Prix. It's a haven for the rich and famous and overtaxed. But come on, are they really feeling the economic squeeze?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's not just the principality of Monaco itself, Marco. You got to realize that this tiny country would never have the financial resources to do this itself. It doesn't even impose tax on its residents. So the money really would have to come from the developers from the Middle East, actually from all over the world. And the price tag on this baby was north of $15 billion. You know, by the time it finished, it could easily have been double that. There's none of these construction projects comes in on time or on budget. So the developers simply couldn't finance a project like this. So I don't think it was actually Monaco itself that started the process of winding this thing down. It was probably the developers said, look, we just don't have enough money to finance this for you. So, you know, try to find someone else. And they couldn't.
Monaco has been so good to so many rich seeking refuge from taxes around the world. Has anybody suggested that maybe those rich people who have gotten the benefits of Monaco for so many years just ought to pass a hat?
Well, it's a nice theory, but the residents of Monaco are there to save money, not to spend money. And the other thing is, I know some people who live in Monaco, and I don't get a sense from them that the residents of Monaco have any feeling for the place, in the sense that it's almost like a bedroom community. The people I know live in Monaco so they don't have to pay income tax, personal income tax. There is a corporate income tax. You know, Monday morning they get on a plane to Paris or Geneva or Milan or London or Brussels. And so my sense is they don't really care that much about the place as a community, as a place to live. So I don't see how they could, even if they had the money, I don't see why they'd bother.
It's kind of curious. The Prince of Monaco, Albert II, insisted that Monaco's economy is not in dire trouble. What do you make of that?
Well, maybe not now, but if you look at, you know, this place exists off rich people and rich events. Look at the Formula One race, the car race. Mm. Honda just pulled out. Renault of France is rumored to be pulling out. I mean, Formula One is actually in crisis. They have to cut costs drastically. That's the biggest draw there. That brings in, you know, tens of thousands of the rich, beautiful, and famous every year. And also, the Russian money is not coming in anymore. These are the people that show up in 200- and 300-foot yachts and plug the harbor. So, you know, maybe not now, but I bet you when the summer hits, the spending's going to be way, way less from tourism and from the rich people, and that's got to affect them.
Prince Albert II also said at one point that he had some reservations about the coastal urbanization project and its impact on marine life. Are there any unexpected winners in this setback?
Yeah, I think there's probably two winners. I think that the environment. Now, he is actually a big environmentalist. In fact, he opened up the United Nations Environment Program conference on migratory species last week in Rome. So he's very conscious of this. I don't think they figured out from an engineering point of view how to build a peninsula a kilometer long in this tiny, tiny place, how that was not going to hurt the environment. So I would say the environment's a big winner in this. But also, you know, if you're living in Monaco, and it's tiny, you know, it's it's less than a mile by a mile. If you've got a 10-year construction project going on, and you're hearing and you're listening to banging and trucks and drilling and blasting, it would drive you crazy. So I think the residents who actually live there are very happy this thing's not happening. I've talked to a couple, and they said, "Lucky, we don't need a construction site right in our backyard for 10 years."
Well, urbanization of Monaco may have slowed down, but I trust the roulette wheel at the casino will be spinning as fast as usual tonight.
There's always enough rich people around to gamble money, even in this economy. The Monte Carlo casino there is very, very famous. Not that I've ever been in there. They don't take rubes like me.
Okay. Eric Regula, rube and European business reporter for the Globe and Mail from Toronto. He's been speaking about the second smallest country in the world that's feeling the global economic pinch. Monaco, the answer to our GeoQuiz. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much.